Welcome to the Summary Podcast, presented by Suncoast Venture Studio. The Summary takes dense, complex topics and breaks them down into engaging, approachable conversations for everyone involved in building something extraordinary on the Suncoast. Join us on our journey as we explore a constantly shifting landscape of insights, ideas, and fascinating tidbits. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Summary Suncoast Venture Studio podcast. We're embarking today on a deep dive into a specific model that's been, steadily reshaping the startup landscape, the Venture Studio. We know building a new business from the ground up is incredibly challenging. It's a path just fraught with difficulty. But Venture Studios offer a distinct, potentially more effective way to navigate those challenges.
Exactly. And our mission today is really to unpack the key insights from these sources you provided. We want to lay out clearly what a Venture Studio is, how it operates, how it's different from models you might be more familiar with, like incubators or accelerators. We also want to understand the data behind its growing success, explore its structures and types, and look at some of the challenges it faces too.
Okay, sounds good. Let's start at the beginning then. What exactly defines a Venture Studio at its core, based on the research you've pulled together?
Well, a venture studio, sometimes called a startup studio or maybe a venture builder, it's basically an organization whose primary business is creating startups. And this isn't just an occasional thing, it's a repeatable process for them. They typically build these companies from scratch, beginning with generating and testing the initial business ideas internally.
So hang on, they aren't waiting for entrepreneurs to bring them prepackaged ideas then? They're actively coming up with the concepts themselves.
That's a really key differentiator, yes. Once they have an idea they think works, one they've validated, they provide the initial investment, they allocate their internal resources, could be experienced team members, tech, whatever, and then crucially, they bring in co-founder entrepreneurs to partner with them on these new ventures.
Right. And that partnership structure, from what I understand from the sources, involves the studio keeping a pretty significant stake.
Yes, that's what the sources indicate. The studio usually retains a notable equity position in each company they help create. Typically, it's somewhere in the range of 20% to 40%, maybe even more in some cases.
Okay. And the material also points out that the terms venture studio and startup studio, they can be used interchangeably, but there might be a technical distinction. Can you clarify that based on the sources?
Absolutely. Yeah. While you hear them used synonymously a lot, the material does note that a distinction can sometimes be made based on funding. Venture studios, in this more specific definition, often raise external funds, kind of like a traditional venture capital fund, to support the startups they build. Startup studios, on the other hand, might rely more heavily on the capital put in by the studio's own founders or partners initially, without necessarily managing a separate external fund structure.
That helps clarify the nuances. Okay, so if venture studios are this deeply involved, building from day one, how does that fundamentally differentiate them from those other models we mentioned, incubators, accelerators, or even traditional VC funds?
Yeah, the research provides a really clear comparison here. The core difference lies in the level of involvement and, importantly, the origin of the startup idea. Venture studios are described as intensely hands-on. They function almost like a co-founder, really embedded in the startup from the absolute earliest ideation stage.
So they're really in the trenches helping build the actual product and the strategy from the ground up.
Precisely. Now compare that to, say, an incubator. Incubators typically work with startups that apply to them with their existing early ideas. They help refine those concepts, assist in maybe building out the team, and prepare for launch, usually at a very foundational level. Accelerators, they tend to engage companies that already have something tangible, a prototype, an MVP, maybe even some early revenue. They provide a focus boost over a short period, typically, 3 to 6 months. And venture funds, they usually come in even later. They act primarily as financial investors in startups that have already achieved significant traction and show clear growth potential.
Okay. So it really sounds like the venture studio is creating the entity itself, not just picking winners from a pool of existing ones.
That's the key distinction. Exactly. Venture studios initiate, they validate, and they invest internally, choosing which businesses to build based on their own research and insights into the market. Incubators and accelerators, they're evaluating and selecting from external applications, working with companies that are already formed, essentially. And VCs, they identify and invest in existing businesses that already have some momentum.
And is their investment approach differ significantly as well.
Yes, it does. The material highlights that venture studios commit substantial resources after they've decided to build a specific company. They focus significant capital and team support on the opportunities they believe are really right. Accelerators, they typically distribute smaller amounts of capital across a larger group or cohort of companies in their program. Venture capital firms, again, they're investing in companies with a proven track record and established models, often requiring larger amounts of growth capital.
Interesting. Now, this model, it's been around for a while, right? Dating back to Idealab, I think the sources mentioned, but the data suggests it's seen a really significant growth recently. What did the sources say about this rise in popularity?
Yeah, the research definitely confirms the model has been developing, maybe somewhat below the radar since Idealab kicked things off way back in 1996. But more recently, there's been a marked acceleration in its adoption and its prevalence. One source points to a pretty remarkable 625% growth in the venture studio market over just 7 years. That's huge. This increased attention seems to be coming from both serial entrepreneurs and, interestingly, larger established enterprises, too.
Wow. A 625% growth rate over 7 years is incredibly rapid. Does the data actually support the idea that this model is also more successful than the traditional startup routes?
This is where the material offers some really compelling statistics, actually. It draws on studies comparing studio-built companies to traditional ventures. For instance, while the commonly cited statistic is that around 90% of traditional startups fail, one analysis mentioned looked at 415 companies from 23 leading studios and found a failure rate of just 9% among those studio-created ventures.
9%. That's an almost tenfold difference in failure rates. It really changes the odds dramatically, doesn't it?
It certainly suggests a much, much higher survival rate. And the data also looks at exits, acquisitions or IPOs. Studio-built startups show a 34% exit rate. That's nearly double the rate seen from accelerator programs, which is cited at around 19%.
Okay, lower failure, higher exits. What about the financial returns on these ventures? Does the research speak to that?
It does. The research indicates a significantly higher average internal rate of return, or IRR, for studio-created startups. It's pegged at around 53%, compared to about 21.3% for traditional ventures. And you can think of IRR sort of like an annual growth rate for the investment. Also, the total value to paid in, or TVPI, which shows the total value generated relative to the capital invested, that's also much larger for studio startups, about 3.7 times greater, according to one source. So for every dollar invested, they're seeing significantly more value returned on average.
Okay, so lower failure rates, higher exit rates, better returns. How quickly do these companies typically reach funding milestones compared to others?
The data indicates they move much faster. Studio-built companies achieve seed funding about twice as quickly, or 2.2 times faster, according to one source, and they reach an exit about 33% faster than conventional startups. Another source specifies they get to Series A funding 3.3 times faster, so significantly quicker across the board.
That speed is really impressive. Does the data offer any more detail on their progression through those funding rounds, like seed to Series A?
Yes. One study mentioned in the material reports that 84% of studio startups successfully raise a seed round, and a pretty substantial 72% of those go on to raise a Series A round. Now compare that to traditional startups, where typically only about 42% make it to Series A, and the time it takes to get from founding to Series A, it's considerably shorter for studio ventures, around 25 months versus 56 months for traditional ones.
Those numbers are really striking. So based on the sources, what are the key reasons attributed to this higher success rate and this faster growth? What's the secret sauce, according to the material?
Well, the research attributes this success to several factors that seem inherent in the venture studio model. It really emphasizes the studio's deep early involvement and that high-touch management style. They define, research, and validate the product market fit rigorously before making significant investments in actually building the company. That's a big one. They also benefit immensely from leveraging the experienced leadership and the specialized teams within the studio itself. Plus, they apply streamlined resources and use repeatable frameworks developed from, building multiple companies over time.
Right. So it's that systematic, experienced, and very hands-on approach right from the very beginning that seems to make the difference. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you a leader sitting on untapped potential? Have a solution to a pressing industry challenge or a groundbreaking concept waiting to take flight? At Suncoast Venture Studio, we specialize in transforming ideas into venture-scale businesses that solve real-world problems and drive lasting impact. we're more than just a venture studio. We're your innovation partner. Whether it's unlocking value from corporate innovation, translating university research into commercial ventures, or addressing systemic issues in government and beyond, we have the tools, expertise, and network to bring your vision to life. Let's transform challenges into opportunities and ideas into thriving ventures. Together, we're not just launching startups. We're building Florida's Venture Coast. Ready to make an impact? Visit suncoast.studio to connect with us today.
Okay, let's look closer then at how they operate internally. What does their actual process look like according to the material?
The material outlines a fairly structured, often iterative process. It frequently begins with something called venture design. This involves generating ideas, testing concepts, and really validating their potential in the market. Promising concepts then typically go through an internal investment committee or something similar for approval to move forward.
Okay, and after that internal approval, what happens next?
Then they enter the venture build phase. This is where the studio really commits significant resources, time, money, people. They bring on a co-founder entrepreneur, if they haven't already, and provide intensive hands-on support to develop the business. Later stages might involve another checkpoint, maybe a launch investment committee to approve further capital injections. And then eventually the goal is for the startup to spin out and focus on scaling more independently. Sometimes they might even integrate with an accelerator program if that's part of the studio's broader ecosystem.
It sounds like it's not necessarily a rigid one-size-fits-all path, though.
No, and the material notes that iterative nature is crucial. They're constantly reviewing and refining their processes based on market feedback, internal learnings, successes and failures of past ventures. They use things like retrospectives and experiments to learn and adapt their approach over time. It's a learning system.
And what kinds of specific resources does the studio provide to the startups it's building? What's in the box?
They offer access to a really broad range of internal capabilities. This can include dedicated teams for software development, specialized sales expertise, marketing support, HR infrastructure, legal counsel often provided in exchange for that equity stake we talked about. They give very hands-on support in critical areas like product development, crafting effective marketing strategies, executing sales plans. They also often assist with really crucial early activities like acquiring and onboarding the first customers, setting up data science capabilities, managing brand and PR, and establishing those foundational legal and finance functions.
So it's almost like having access to agency-level professional support built right into the model from day one without the massive startup cost for those services.
Exactly. And this is all powered by the studio's core team. The material really stresses that these studio teams are composed of seasoned entrepreneurs and deep subject matter experts. Access to this ready-made, experienced team provides a significant acceleration advantage during the launch and critical early growth phases.
Now, the sources also discuss different structures and types of venture studios. What are the main structural models that are outlined?
Yeah, three primary structures are described in the material. One is the simple holding company model. Here, the studio creates and funds startups, takes an equity stake in them, and it attracts external investment by offering limited partners, or LPs, a stake in the holding company itself.
Okay, straightforward enough. And the second structure?
The second is the fund as a startup studio. This model is managed more like a traditional investment fund. The studio earns management fees and carry, which is a share of the profits on successful exits. In the structure, the shares of the portfolio companies belong directly to the fund, not the studio entity itself.
Right. And the third one, which one source suggested might be the most common approach?
That's the dual entity model, and it basically combines elements of both the holding company and the fund structures. One perspective offered in the material is that maybe starting as a holding company might be simpler initially, and then perhaps transitioning to a dual entity structure once the studio has proven its model and needs more flexibility or scale.
Interesting. Okay, so beyond just the legal or financial structure, the sources also categorize different types of venture studios based on their operational focus and maybe who they partner with.
Right. The most prevalent type seems to be the independent venture studio. These studios typically generate their own ideas internally, or they might partner with very nascent, super early stage concepts. The studio's principals, the core leadership, make the final decisions on which ventures to actually build and invest in. And these independent studios can be niche, focusing specifically on one industry like healthcare or fintech, or they can be industry agnostic, exploring opportunities across various sectors. Examples mentioned include well-known names like Idealab, Rocket Internet, Atomic, High Alpha, and others like Mohara, Expo, Wizard Ventures, Nobody Studios, Betaworks, Colab, and Founders Factory. Lots of players in this space.
So those are the ones generating ideas or partnering right at the earliest possible stage.
Yeah.
What's another type identified?
Then there are tech transfer venture studios. These studios specifically collaborate with external entities, could be government agencies, corporations, or research institutions to source ideas or intellectual property, IP. Their main mission is to commercialize that existing IP by building companies around it. FedTech is cited as an example that specifically works with federal research and technology.
And the third major category mentioned?
That would be corporate venture studios. These function essentially as dedicated innovation units within large corporations. The parent corporation typically provides the initial seed funding, the strategic direction, and critically, access to its significant assets, things like brand recognition, proprietary data, existing customer bases, deep industry knowledge. The venture studio partner then provides the entrepreneurial talent, the structured building process, and the startup know-how. In these arrangements, the corporation usually retains a majority ownership stake in the resulting ventures.
Okay, but why would a large corporation choose to use a venture studio model instead of just, you know, building new things internally with an R&D department or just acquiring startups?
Well, the sources explain this as often a strategic response to challenges like the classic innovator's dilemma. Large companies sometimes find it really difficult to pursue disruptive ideas internally because they might conflict with their existing core business or processes. Corporate venture studios allow them to innovate more aggressively, maybe take bigger bets, without destabilizing their existing operations. It also helps them compete with those big platform companies that are constantly building new businesses internally. Plus, they serve as a way to attract top entrepreneurial talent that might not otherwise thrive in a traditional corporate structure. They can help cultivate a startup culture in a more contained environment, achieve agile execution by separating from bureaucracy, and allow for higher risk exploration outside the main corporate P&L. Aim for the Moon is given as an example working in this space.
Right, that makes sense. So bringing this back to the listener for a moment, and maybe someone listening is an entrepreneur or an investor, why would they consider engaging with or putting capital into a venture studio? The sources seem to summarize several compelling benefits.
They definitely do. For an entrepreneur, a major draw highlighted is the significantly reduced startup risk. That comes from the studio's rigorous testing, that upfront validation, and the direct support of their experienced teams. It's described as a true co-founding relationship. The studio is deeply invested financially and operationally in the startup success right alongside the founder. And you gain immediate access to the studio's often world-class expertise, essentially a ready-made, seasoned team covering all critical areas like product, marketing, sales, tech, right from day one.
Yeah, having access to that level of diverse, experienced talent right from inception sounds like a huge potential advantage for a founder, especially a first-time founder.
It really is. Also, because the studio has experience building multiple companies, they often have tested solutions or playbooks for common challenges that entrepreneurs face, which can save a lot of painful trial and error. You also benefit from an instantly expanded network connections to other entrepreneurs in the portfolio, industry experts, potential partners, future investors. And ultimately, the sources strongly indicate this all leads to faster growth trajectories and quicker, often more lucrative exits, supported by the studio's established process and resources.
We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you a seasoned founder, retired executive, or industry leader with expertise to share? At Suncoast Venture Studio, we're building Florida's Venture Coast, a hub for innovation and high-growth startups. And we need your talent. Join us as a mentor, advisor, or collaborator. Help shape the next wave of scalable startups. Guide entrepreneurs through pivotal moments and stay connected to the excitement of venture creation. Whether you're offering insights, joining an advisory board, or getting hands-on with ideation, your experience can make a lasting impact. Be part of something bigger. Together, we'll create thriving ventures and a vibrant ecosystem right here in Southwest Florida. Visit suncoast.studio to connect with us and start building Florida's Venture Coast.
Okay, and what about the benefits highlighted specifically for investors looking at this model?
For investors, the research points towards potentially higher investment efficiency, that can translate into higher average returns and potentially more frequent exits compared to traditional early stage startup investments. The studio's structured approach, that heavy upfront validation process, it's all aimed at mitigating some of the inherent very high risks involved in early stage investing. So it's presented as a potentially de-risked way to access venture style returns.
Okay, so it sounds like a model with some genuinely impressive data-backed success metrics and clear advantages for both founders and investors. But, you know, no model is perfect. What are some of the challenges or downsides that were identified in the sources?
Yeah, the material is quite candid about the hurdles as well. One significant challenge mentioned repeatedly is attracting experienced co-founder entrepreneurs. It can apparently be difficult to convince seasoned founders, people who could potentially start something on their own, to take on a venture where the studio retains a very substantial equity stake, like that 40% number, even if it comes with a supportive structure and sometimes a base salary. That equity split can definitely be a sticking point.
Right. The potential upside for the individual founder is inherently different compared to starting something entirely on their own, carrying all the risk, but also all the potential reward.
Raising the necessary capital just to fund the studio's operations and its initial investments is also noted as challenging. Establishing a studio requires significant initial capital. The sources estimate $1 million to $2 million at the absolute minimum, but ideally more like $5 million to $10 million or even more to truly scale effectively. This can be difficult, especially without an established track record, partly because the venture studio model is still relatively new as a distinct asset class, and some investors may not fully understand it yet compared to, say, traditional VC. The sources mention average annual operating budgets around $2.49 million, just highlighting the ongoing capital needs.
And just running multiple ventures simultaneously must create enormous operational complexity.
It absolutely does. The sources refer to the potential chaos of parallel startups. Building several companies concurrently requires an extremely robust internal structure and highly streamlined, almost industrialized processes to manage resources effectively and avoid stretching their core teams too thin. If those internal shared services like software development, marketing, finance, business support functions aren't meticulously streamlined and standardized across the different ventures, the whole efficiency advantage of the model starts to diminish pretty quickly.
Hmm. Are there also challenges related to just data or market understanding of the model itself?
Yeah, there's still somewhat limited comprehensive effectiveness data available compared to more mature asset classes like traditional venture capital or even private equity. And the existing data, well, it can have nuance because the terminology venture studio, venture builder, startup studio is still somewhat fluid and intertwined in practice, which can make it harder to get perfectly clean apples to apples comparative analytics across the entire sector.
Okay. And what might cause a venture studio itself to actually fail? Are there common pitfalls?
The material suggests a few potential failure points specifically for the studios. Things like failing to clearly define a compelling niche or strategy that resonates with investors and founders, or adopting a non-lean approach to funding their own operations, maybe spending too much too soon. Setting equity splits that are perceived as too high by founders could also be an issue, potentially impacting future funding rounds for the startups or just demotivating the very founders they need to attract and retain. And crucially, the leadership team within the studio itself needs significant, relevant experience in the venture ecosystem to effectively select viable ideas and guide the ventures. Bad picks early on can sink a studio.
Okay, so considering all these pros, cons, and requirements, who does the research suggest a venture studio model is really best suited for? Who should be looking into this?
The material offers some pretty clear guidings here, speaking directly to potential participants, which is helpful for you listening. If you're an entrepreneurial person, someone who really wants to be a founder, but maybe you don't currently have a specific business idea that you're deeply married to, a venture studio can be an excellent fit. They often generate the ideas internally and are actively seeking talented entrepreneurs to partner with and lead them.
Right. Or maybe if you do have an early idea, but you recognize you need significant support to actually execute it.
Exactly. If you are an early stage entrepreneur, maybe you have a promising idea, but you recognize you need a robust partner to provide not just funding, but deep expertise, operational support, and a built-in team to help you build and scale effectively. Then working with a startup studio or venture studio is presented as potentially one of the most effective options available to you.
And conversely, who might it likely not be the right path for? When should someone maybe look elsewhere?
Well, the source suggests it's probably not a good fit if your startup is already well past that initial build phase and firmly into significant growth, maybe scaling rapidly already. It's also likely not for you if you are fundamentally unwilling to share a relatively significant percentage of equity ownership in your business, which is inherent in the model, or if you simply don't want or need a long-term, deeply collaborative, almost co-founder type of relationship with the studio providing that support.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, the material you shared also includes a specific local example, Suncoast Venture Studio, right here in Southwest Florida. How does this particular studio illustrate some of the concepts we've been discussing?
Yes, Suncoast Venture Studio is highlighted as a really interesting local application of this model. Its explicit mission, according to the source material provided, is very focused on driving economic diversification within Southwest Florida, specifically targeting the Sarasota region.
And what's their approach? How do they operate?
They seem to employ a hybrid model, combining aspects of both a venture studio creating businesses internally and an incubator supporting external founders. Their stated focus is on creating, supporting, and scaling innovative ventures that are designed both to address identified market gaps and to contribute directly to local economic growth. So they work with businesses they initiate internally, but also those brought to them by founders from the community.
And the source emphasizes them leveraging the unique characteristics of the Suncoast region itself.
Absolutely. They highlight utilizing the region's position within Florida's high-tech corridor, tapping into local research institutions like universities, specific local talent pools, and existing professional networks. They also point to assets like their collaborative workspace environment and even the unique local environment, you know, beaches, the vibrant arts community as potential sources of inspiration, creativity, and fostering community resilience, all contributing to building a stronger local entrepreneurial ecosystem.
This seems directly tied to that idea we touched on earlier about venture studios helping to anchor businesses locally, keeping them in the region.
It is, and the source makes that connection very explicitly. Unlike some traditional support models where companies might, you know, participate in a program and then leave the area afterwards, the venture studio model, especially one explicitly rooted in a specific geography like Suncoast Venture Studio, is designed to proactively create ventures that are deeply integrated into the local ecosystem from day one. By building companies aligned with regional resources, opportunities, and talent, they are designed not just to launch, but ideally to thrive and remain rooted in the community, contributing to that long-term economic development goal.
And their emphasis on team and local expertise, does that align with the reasons the general sources cite for the success of venture studios overall?
Absolutely. It aligns perfectly. The Suncoast material specifically notes their strategy of pairing entrepreneurial talent with the deep experience and extensive networks of local mentors, seasoned operators, and, interestingly, retired senior executives available in the region, which is a unique asset for Southwest Florida. Mentioning their management team members by name Travis Priest, Will Dolan, Rachel West, and Paul Harder serves as concrete examples of the type of experienced leadership that the broader research identifies as absolutely critical to a studio's ability to select viable ideas and effectively support the ventures they build.
Okay, so to try and bring everything together based on the research we've explored today, what's the fundamental function of a venture studio? How would you summarize it?
Well, fundamentally, it's essentially a systematic iterative engine specifically designed for creating and scaling new companies. They provide that intensive hands-on support, significant pooled resources, and a built-in approach to risk mitigation that really sets them apart from traditional investment models or other startup support programs like incubators or accelerators.
And the overarching takeaway from digging into these sources seems to be?
The material consistently indicates across multiple data points that venture studios have demonstrated notably higher success rates, lower failure rates, higher exit rates, faster paths to securing funding, quicker exits overall, and often stronger financial returns when compared directly to traditional startup approaches and some of those other models.
There's a model with increasingly tangible data supporting its effectiveness in a tough startup world.
That's certainly what the sources you provided strongly suggest is increasingly the case, yes.
Which brings us nicely to a final thought drawn from the research for you, our listener, to consider. Given the significant challenges that are just inherent in building startups from scratch and the increasing competitive pressure from large platform companies who are constantly innovating and building internally, and considering the compelling success metrics highlighted in these sources, is the venture studio model poised to become a truly dominant force in how new businesses are created and scaled in the future venture landscape? And if that's the case, or even if it just becomes more prominent, what does this potential shift imply for the path of the traditional independent entrepreneur and the strategies of conventional venture investors? Something to think about.
It definitely raises a crucial question about the potential evolution of the entire innovation ecosystem moving forward.
Thank you for exploring this fascinating topic with us today on the Summary of Suncoast Venture Studio podcast.